Welcome, foolish mortals.
Time to be turning around. If only you could.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Henry, what's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
There's no turning back now.
This is the greatest show. It's coming in on the third light. We're far away, we're running the night. Impossible comes true. It's taking over you. This is the greatest show.
Now it's time for the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. With your hosts, Michael Hurley and Gary Aruda.
From the DuPont LeRoy Recording Studios in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida, in Kent County, Rhode Island, this is episode number 322 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. I am Mike down in sunny Southwest Florida, joined by Gary up in Cranston, Rhode Island. Gary.
Welcome back. Are we going to play a little Welcome Back, Cotter, at the first break?
That's my plan.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. All right, I have to say two things right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
One, Michael Schaefer, thank you for filling in. You did a mediocre job.
As well as could be expected.
I mean, you get what you pay for. You get D-rate talent, you get D-rate results. You did carry him, though.
Yep, just like you carried me.
Yes. You were the Jordan, he was the Craig Hodges. You know, just like a seventh guy off the bench, nobody, future GM, no talent. But, you know, you brought the best out of them.
I did.
And that just goes to show that we have the organization. We're like Belichick. You know, you plug in the players, it doesn't matter. It's the organization.
It's the system that we have.
Yes, exactly.
It's been over 5+ years of incorporating the system. And I think, you know, we've still got a little ways to go, but for the most part, it's a steady organization.
I mean, you can only take a guy so far like Schaefer. And you guys, you know, I mean, respectable second round of the playoffs. Pretty good, but what can you expect? It's as good as you could do.
So you're expecting a deep run now that you're back?
A deep run. Now that the starting lineup is back at full force, I expect a deep run into the playoffs and possibly a championship. I'd say we're championship contenders.
Wow.
Now, as currently constituted, I got Eugene off furlough to help with the audio.
Oh, Eugene's back?
Yeah, he's off furlough. We had him furloughed, you know.
We had to cut expenses.
Times have been tough even here in the DuPont LeRoy Studios. I mean, I'm literally staring at like a cement wall right now.
That's so gorgeous.
My accommodations are a lot different than they used to be a mere 3-4 weeks ago.
Is it your typical New England basement? Does it just smell like mothballs and cold cement?
It's not too bad. It's not that bad. Maybe I'll do a little tour afterwards, and I can post that video on our social media platforms.
I assume you did install all the radon detectors.
There is a radon detector here.
Good boy.
Yep, radon detector is here. Radon mitigation system, I believe, is the...
Is that what they call that thing now?
Well, because it's actually like doing the fan to like remove the radon from it, I guess. I don't know how that works. We're good. We're getting settled in. Most of the important stuff is now in place. You know, the furniture's where it needs to be. We're waiting on a few things to still arrive.
From storage, or did you order new stuff?
No. Some new stuff, like we got a new area rug for the main floor.
Dude.
We got some Adirondack chairs coming for the front porch.
Yep. That's a copy of my mansion.
Yep, and then we have...
Rocking chairs or regular chairs?
We did one of each, Bill.
Nice.
One rock, one regular. I think that was the way to go. But we got the grill assembled over the weekend, this past weekend, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
That grill has been on deck for a while. We had that probably for about a year, and we never even built it last year at the Westerly House.
Do you know how many inches it is?
As a matter of fact, I can tell you it's 50 inches because I had to measure it when I ordered a cover for it.
Because when we were looking at doing our whole outdoor kitchen, if we wanted to do like a little sink and a little refrigerator, we could only do about a 24-inch
Oh, so that's 50 inches is from like side to side with the side burner and the little tray on it.
Okay, okay.
So I would guess 36 is the grilling capacity.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, you showed me a picture. It looks really big.
Yeah, it's a five burner and a side burner.
Okay.
On there, so it is it's a monster one. But it's nice. So far, so good. Made some dirters tonight on the grill.
I'll tell you, those area rugs, it's funny you said that because we did the same thing. You have hardwoods, I would assume, right?
Yeah, yep.
Because they don't do tile up there like they do down here. But we got two area rugs, and I'll send some pictures. They came. We got one for the living room.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes the whole living room. It's just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then.
New since I've been there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They just got delivered about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, nice. Where'd you get them from?
Oh, I'll have to ask Kristen. It was just a website that we found.
Was it Ruggable? Because that's where I ordered mine from.
I don't know. They weren't cheap. The one that we got for the living room.
Does it have like the pad and then you can remove the top and wash it?
Not that I know of, no.
Oh, so that's the kind I got. It's like supposed to be this washable one that's like their claim to fame.
Okay.
So we got that because, you know, with the girls spilling on it and stuff.
Right.
We thought that was a wise investment.
And then we got one for the dining room to put under the dining room table.
Oh, nice, yeah.
And you know like how the houses here are so open and they flow and mm-hmm. my dining room is right next to the kitchen.
Yep.
And just putting that rug down just completely designates
kind of
that area.
It a little
totally
bit.
Totally
yeah.
does. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, because before, while it was a separate area, it kind of felt like just part of the kitchen almost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean.
And now it's kind of gives it its own little personality.
Mm hmm.
This is a nice interior decorating side. You know, there's no sports, and all of a sudden we start talking about area rugs and.
I was using my C-minus geometry skills to a T. I mean, because you have to get that thing centered right under the
light fixture. Yeah.
And then you put the table on top of that, and then we're trying to move it like an inch. Like, it was just off by an inch.
Yeah, because it has to be just right.
It has to be just right, or it's going to bother you. Like, you wouldn't notice it, and Schaefer wouldn't notice it, but it just bothered me. So you got, you know, you're hanging a string from the middle of the chandelier to the table, and then measuring the table, and then, all right, it's going to go right, left, or right, like upright about an inch. And oh,
the
man.
Left corner has to move this
yes.
way. The right corner has to.
You came into the same situation. Yeah.
Well, in the living room, though, it doesn't matter as much, because you can kind of just center it in the room. And, like, tuck a corner under one of the feet of the rug if you need to, the couch if you need mm-hmm. to, and just let it happen. But, yeah, the dining room one, I imagine, would be a lot harder to get situated.
Yeah, that was a pain, but...
We decided against the dining room rug, because our dining room is completely separate.
Uh-huh.
And with the amount of food the girls spill still at the table, we thought it would be not the best idea. Maybe in a few years we'll invest in one for there, but right now we're just going to keep it bare hardwood.
Yeah. We held off because of dog, because he's still, even 6 months ago, we caught him chewing on, like, one of the bathroom rugs.
Mm.
And luckily, like, those are, you know, $25-$30, so it didn't bother us as much. But I'm like, I'm going to end up killing him if he goes near this thing.
Yeah, you get a $300-$400 rug and he starts gnawing at it, you're not going to be too happy.
No. No.
And I know that's not even an expensive rug. I mean, you can get much more expensive ones. I'm assuming you guys, you know, with your stimulus check and all that, you probably broke the bank on it.
No, the one in the living room was really nice, and it's all like watercolor, so it's like teals and blues and stuff. So the one in the living room,
very Florida.
Yeah, very Florida. Yeah. So the living room one was like around $100, but then the one for the dining room was like thick, a lot thicker, and it felt more of carpet, and that was like four change.
That's not bad.
And Kristen's like, I'm like, Kristen, it's going to make the room pop. I'm like, let's just do it. And once
it's not like you're going to need to replace it anytime soon. It'll probably last you 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
you'll probably want to change it just when it feels out of style. It's not like it's going to wear out.
Right.
Yeah, ours, because it's like that washable one, I think it was like 260 or something, 265. But it has like a pad.
Yep.
That it sticks to, and then you can peel the top off, and that can go right in the washing machine, which is a nice feature.
Now, did you do the thing that you put underneath so the rug doesn't slide?
Well, that's what the pad is. I guess that it's like a special kind of pad.
Okay.
We'll see. I'll report back. We don't have it yet. They said they're, you know, a couple weeks out more than they usually are due to COVID-19 and stuff. Not at full capacity in their warehouses.
Yeah, it's funny. We got these things pretty much 2-3 days out.
Yeah, they said... They're all made to order, which I don't know if I believe, but whatever. That's fine. Same thing with the Adirondack chairs. they're a lot slower than they normally are. I contacted them the other day.
Those are a pain to put together. Luckily, Felix was in town for that, so he took him and Kristen took care of that.
I'll let the good doctor take care of that.
She does all that too?
She likes to do that.
Yeah,
stuff,
so does
yeah.
Kristen. She took the
lead on the grill. I mean, I was there to help and like put things in place and do that, but she took the lead on the grill, and then once it came to like connecting the propane, she let me take over.
Yeah, that's something else.
Like making sure all the burners were lined up and all that stuff, because she's like, once it came to the fire part, she said you could do it. And I said, that's fine. I can handle that.
So what else you got going on? You took a little hiatus because you were moving, as everybody knows.
Yep. The hiatus was, it helped not have to worry about that, because I was able to break down the studio a lot earlier and get everything packed away. So that was good. Things are going okay, I guess. Rhode Island's supposedly going to start opening back up this weekend.
Okay.
Which we'll see how that goes with everything going on. And they just announced today that they're going to randomly select 5,000 households to do the antibody test in Rhode Island. So that'd be interesting. I'd really love to know.
Because you know it's gonna drive you nuts if they're like, oh yeah, you had this thing and you're good to go, and like meanwhile like you're sleeping like in your car sheds and
yeah, but think about, like you said, the week before everything hit the fan, you were at Bay Hill among tens of thousands of people,
60,000, yeah,
you know, and a couple of weeks even before that, I was at a UConn basketball game, mm-hmm. you know, and we were actually in contact. Well, I remember I was telling you when we went to the Children's Museum in Connecticut, there was someone that had a confirmed case. That was very early on, and we were there the same day, potentially at the mm-hmm. same time. We didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
None of us showed symptoms for 2 weeks after, but who knows?
And as you're seeing, that's where all this stuff spreads. It's not at the beaches or the golf courses.
Right. And that was so early on that they weren't going to just test you just if you had to be showing real bad symptoms to get a test.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I've been tested. I did the CVS rapid test about a week ago, and I came back negative. So that's a good thing, at least, I guess, to know that you're also negative at the moment, but that just means you're still susceptible, potentially, right?
I guess. I don't fully understand that. How is your coworker?
He's doing good. He's really shown... He said the only symptoms he had a couple nights, he had, like, a slight scratchy throat.
Hmm.
Which is amazing, because this time of year with allergies, you could easily assume that have like a little scratchy throat. So who knows? It hits people so differently.
I mean, it's like hit or miss. Like, you know, with my allergies, and there's nights where we come back with the dog, and I got the scratchy throat, and then I feel like I got the low grade fever. You know, like you just know it's around 99, maybe 99.3. You know, not enough to even take the temperature, but just enough to where you feel a little goofy.
And then you get paranoid.
And then you just start getting paranoid.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing for you is that you're always so bad with allergies that you can chalk
that
it
I
up
know.
100% to that.
Yeah, it's not like I've never had allergies and all of a sudden I come home and I feel like garbage.
Because I'm not an allergy guy. I don't get allergies a lot. I got a little bit last year, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got like a scratchy throat, like I had post-nasal drip and it was really bugging my throat. So... that was like one of the first times I ever had allergies, and so if I had those conditions, I'd be really freaking out.
Yeah.
And then they tell you to stay home from work and isolate. It's like, am I going to, I guess I should, and I haven't had to worry about it because I've been feeling really good, you know, knock on wood, but, you know, if I get like a slight scratchy throat one night, should I call out of work?
I know.
I guess you should, right? That's what they're telling you to do. Stay home if you're not sure, but...
I think it's
I
more
just
of
feel
a,
like such a jackass if I called out with like a little scratchy throat that is probably allergies, you know?
Yeah, it's such a mind, you know what, this whole thing. It's so just crazy.
I think that's the hardest part, is just how much it's affecting you mentally.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. You know, for people that aren't getting sick from it, obviously. Not to say that, you know, if someone gets sick from it, obviously that's the worst part. But for people who aren't showing symptoms, it's just the mental aspect is so hard to deal with. On that note, would you like to hear about my unofficial beer
would
sponsor
love to.
Of the week?
Would love to.
This week, I thought, what better back in studio, back to Cranston, where I grew up, back in my hometown, to bring Cranston's most famous beer, and no longer brewed in Cranston, but it was originated in Cranston, and that is Narragansett Lager Beer since 1890, the famous Narragansett beer Their brewery used to be on Narragansett Ave in Cranston, and now they're moving it to Pawtucket. They're still building that their brewery there, I guess. But here we go. Narragansett Lager Beer. One sip. Everybody knows the rules, although this is one that I've had many sips of in the past. But we'll give it an official score. I don't think I've scored it before.
Is it in a tall boy, 16 ounce?
Tall boy, 16 ounce can, the way it's meant to be consumed. One sip. Everybody knows the rules. It just tastes so good. It's just like...
Is it your Bud Light?
This is my Bud Light.
It's your Bud Light.
This is my Bud Light. Oh, speaking of, Frank had a Narragansett the other day.
What was the occasion?
They came over. So they've been watching the girls. So we don't feel like we need to quarantine from them because they're already exposed to us through the girls every day because we're working.
Mm-hmm.
So they came over on Sunday, and Frank helped me get my irrigation system going because I wasn't familiar with it since it's the new house. And then the grill was built, so I had some steak tips marinating, so I had them stay for dinner. And after we did the irrigation, I said, "Oh, do you want some water or something?" He said, "I'll have a beer if you have one."
Attaboy, Frank. Attaboy.
And I said, "I don't have any Bud Light," because I know that's his favorite. I said, I have Narragansett. He said, "Oh, I'll try it," and he really liked it. So that's a step in the right direction. I mean, like, expanding his horizons. Nothing wrong with Bud Light, but there's also nothing wrong with a good Narragansett tall boy. 16 ounce, one sip, everybody knows the rules. Schaefer gave me crap for giving low scores.
Ah, you did hear that, huh?
Yeah, and that's not even accurate. I bet my scores, on average, were higher than his. This one's a 9.1. Just it's my Bud Light. It's not a 10. I don't know if I'm more in the Dave Portnoy school of thought, where I don't think I can ever give a 10 because then there's nowhere to go.
Correct.
Can't go up. So 9.1, that's the highest score I've given, I think, on the show. And so the Narragansett is a 9.1, Narragansett Lager. Is there anything else you want to add here?
No.
In this first segment?
No, that was a perfect segment. I think it's a great time to take a break.
Let's do it.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Back here where we need ya.
Back here where we need ya.
Yeah, we tease him a lot, 'cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
And I know what a scene you were learning in. Was there something that made you come back again? And what could ever lead you?
What could ever lead you?
Back here where we need you.
Back here where we need you.
Yeah, we tease him a lot, 'cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
All right, we're back from the break. This is episode number 322 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. Mr. Klinsman is joining me up in... Cranston. Where are you? Cranston?
Cranston, Rhode Island. Kent County.
Kent County. Kent County. Cranston, Kent Rhode County Island, metropolitan yes. area. Yep.
Now, which, before... Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, is that the largest county or is it still Providence County?
Providence County is still the largest because you got Providence, Pawtucket, and... in like Central Falls.
All of the desirable places to live. You started in the South. You're moving north, so your next stop is Providence County, baby.
I'm not moving. If the next stop
Yeah,
is,
I know what you're going to say. You don't even have to go there.
Is like Manatee County or what's Lake Buena Vista? Where, yeah, what county is Orange, Osceola County?
Osceola, Orange County, Volusia County. I think they're in two or three counties, but...
That's right. Anyway, so I wanted to just say before we start getting into this week's topic, I just watched a beautiful YouTube video, a premiere, if you will.
Oh, okay.
On our YouTube channel.
Oh, one of ours.
So if you go to youtube.com, search for WDW Beyond the Gates, you can find the latest video, at least at time of recording, the latest video was the Whispering Canyon breakfast review.
How did you think that came out?
The video came out good, very good. I think as I was eating, I had better feelings about it than after when I had a little time to think about it.
So I like you asked, for... I think we were all excited about it, and then toward the end, we were just kind of
I think you're exactly right. We were very excited to be there because we just—I mean—we rolled onto property and went right to, you know, Wilderness Lodge, Whispering Canyon, feeling good. We had our tea time coming up. We were looking forward to this breakfast for a while, and it wasn't bad. Like, don't get me wrong, it wasn't bad. I don't feel like we got ripped off, but I feel like the quality, just top to bottom, wasn't there. There were some high points, certainly, like that brisket and the ham were good, but the eggs were lousy, the potatoes were lousy, like the little things. Like, that's the stuff that should be easy. Like, breakfast potatoes and scrambled eggs are easy. Those you should knock out of the park 10 out of 10 times.
And I'll tell you, before you move forward, Kristen made some this weekend because I got a bag of potatoes. And we made mashed potatoes, and I think I got the wrong ones. I think I got, like, I typically get, you know, the one that you peel, like the russet.
Yeah, the russets. So if you get like the golds, those are more waxy. Those aren't good for mashed potatoes.
And that's what I got, and we were both kind of like, the potatoes are okay, but not that great. So I said, you know what, this weekend I'll do omelets. Will you do the home fries? Because they take about 45 minutes to do. And yeah, man, she kills these things. They are crispy on the outside and nice and tender on the inside, perfectly seasoned. But like, you know, going back to what you were talking about, breakfast potatoes, how can you screw those up?
I mean, when you are a restaurant that does breakfast, you know, me or you doing it at home, we can.
Yeah, for the first two or three times, we might have to tweak it, but you would think you could figure this thing out.
So there were high points and there were low points, and just overall, I wasn't super impressed. I'm not dying to go back, put it that way.
No, you'd rather go to the Grand Floridian Cafe or one of your favorites,
Ale and Compass, Kona.
Place is great.
Place that I know you're going to get great stuff.
Right.
How do you like that picture I sent?
Oh, God. I forget how good that meat at the buffet.
That looks so good.
So good.
And that
so
good. I didn't even show the picture of our meals, which were fantastic. Mm-hmm. Just the buffet portion of it's so good. Hugely underrated. That was a great pick for the non-cheerleader, by the way.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, you were forced to go to the park, so I understand that you had to do some of those things, but that was a good episode last week. You carried it. It was a good episode.
Thank you.
All right, let's get into it. You want to interview me, correct?
I'm going to interview you like we did getting to know Mike a few weeks ago. You know, we're constantly evolving and getting new listeners, and people are like, why are they calling each other Bill and Jurgen and this and that? And who are these idiots?
Right. So and I am Gary. I'm not Bill or Jurgen, although I will answer to both of those names.
Correct.
My name's Gary. I'm the co-host of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast, formerly the Por Favor podcast.
Correct.
And, we did these a long time ago, more informally, right? We just kind of talked about some of that stuff.
Yeah, we just rambled about ourselves.
But you want to let the people know
I do.
What we're all about, what things we, what makes us tick at Disney, basically.
Yeah.
Or Disney stuff, so.
So I'll begin with the classic corporate America first question. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I kind of started a little bit. Yeah, my name's Gary. Like I said, hi Gary. And then you kind of get an idea of what I'm about. I like grilling. I like beer. I like Disney. I like sports. I like golf.
Kind of a guy's guy.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
It's...
I have two kids, two girls, Jurgina and Jurgina Jr.
Yep.
Wife, we've been married now 9 years. We just had our anniversary, 9 years.
Isn't that crazy?
It's insane.
It's so crazy.
And just moved back to Cranston. Lived in Rhode Island my whole life, unfortunately. And that's about it. I don't know. If you have any personal questions, I'm happy to answer. I don't know how deep, in depth you want to get on that kind of stuff, but
no, that's perfect.
Good.
Is it good to be back in the hood?
Have you
run into, like, people you went to elementary school with at Shaw's when you were buying some steak tips?
Well, it's hard to say because everyone's wearing a mask right now. So I haven't really noticed running into people. And it's not like I'm going out and about too much. I'm trying to not go out as much as possible. So, no, I haven't really yet.
Okay.
I imagine under normal circumstances, potentially, because we probably would have gone out to eat at one point or, you know, different things like that. But, yeah, right now, not really.
You're going to get the Gary, and you're going to turn around and be like, oh, no.
I didn't think I'd see you again.
Oh, no. Yeah. You living back up here? Last time I heard, you were down in Westerly. You living That's here right, now?
Yeah. Yep, that'll be definitely...
It's going to happen, isn't it?
That'll be a conversation at some point.
You could hide in Westerly.
Mm-hmm.
No, nobody from Warwick or Cranston moved to Westerly. I mean, that's almost New York City for crying out loud.
I was on an island. Yeah.
Holy mackerel! All right, second question: how old were you when you first went to Disney World?
You know, that's a good question, and I didn't know the answer. I didn't know the answer to that. To be honest, I had to look it up because it's kind of a blur. And I did a little bit of research, and I found out that it was June of 1999 was the first time I went. Believe it or not. And wow. The reason I know this is because I was in MGM Studios and they were doing the soft opening of the Rock and Roller Coaster, which officially opened July of 1999.
Okay.
And I know I went in June because it was like the week after school got out. We went. So I wasn't yet. My birthday's in July, so I would have been 15 at the time when I first went. June 99.
All right. And that's kind of one of those awkward stages because you're kind of into chicks, and then you're with your younger goofy sisters, and
yeah, so we went.
It's a tough age.
My old man didn't go, so right. My mom took the three of us, and we stayed at All-Star Sports, and we didn't really know anything about the parks. I think my mom and Catherine had gone once.
Okay.
The two of them, they won like a prize, like my mom won the prize on the radio to go.
I do remember that. I remember that. My mom telling me, you know, your Aunt Sue won a prize.
Yeah, so she went, and I think they did Disney and Universal like 2 days of each or something as part of the prize.
Okay.
I'll have to check back. I'm not 100% sure, but I know they went before I did. And we stayed, you know, we stayed at All-Star Sports.
Which was relatively new probably at that point.
Yeah, I think it opened in 95 or 96. Okay. So yeah, it would have been a few years old at that point. Or maybe Mary went. If she was in, like, the band. Maybe Mary went with my mom when she was in the band in middle school or something. I don't know. Regardless, I don't remember who went before me, but I don't even know if, like, Magical Express was a thing at that point, but I know we didn't rent a car, so it must have been, because I don't know how else we would have got to the hotel.
When I went with my buddies back in the early 90s, we had to cab it, because the Magical Express wasn't around in 91, 92.
Yeah. So I'm guessing it was at that point because I don't remember taking a cab or like a town car or anything like that, but we could have. I don't remember a lot of the weird details of that trip. I don't even remember being in Epcot. I know we went, but I don't even remember being there. I know Animal Kingdom had just opened like a month before and we didn't go there because that opened in 99, didn't it, Animal Kingdom?
I believe so, yes.
So we didn't even, or 98 or 99, we didn't go to Animal Kingdom at all. We did Magic Kingdom definitely, because I remember going on the People Mover and thinking I was on Space Mountain when we went inside Space Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. But yeah, a lot I don't remember about that trip, which is kind of weird.
You know what? I was
old enough to remember it.
It is kind of weird, but like I'm thinking back from my first couple trips. And you don't really get the photographic memory until you actually fall in love with Disney. So this was all new to you.
Yeah, it was all new, and I didn't know what I was looking at, a lot of the things. So,
because now you have photographic memory of every single trip and every single day what you did.
Pretty much.
For the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Where you ate, where you...
I do remember some of the meals, though.
Well, of course.
Because we ate at... The Liberty Tree.
Liberty
Tavern.
Tree, yeah, with Frank's credit card.
Frank, we just charge it to the room,
that's
baby.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you know he had, well, this is back before, like, technology, but he would have, like, an alert on his credit card that anything over 11:35, he gets dinged.
He had a beeper just for that.
Somebody spent $12 on lunch? What the hell's going on? That's fraud. Shut her down. Shut her down.
So... I know, so the reason I remember that is because Catherine got sick, so my mom had to take her back to the hotel. So Mary and I, she's 5 years younger than me, so she would have been 9 or 10.
15 and 10 running around
just
the Magic
walking around
Kingdom.
Magic
what
Kingdom.
What could go wrong?
And then I just go table for two, and we go and sit down and have lunch and charge it to the room like nothing's nobody's business, you know.
Here's a credit card, get some lunch, don't lose your sister.
Yeah, pretty much what it was the answer to that. I was always responsible, though. You think anyone would have trusted 15-year-old you?
Oh, God,
with a 10-year-old?
No. Oh, God,
you know,
no.
Younger cousin or sibling or whatever?
Nope.
Nope, that would have been a big no. The 10-year-old would have got the credit card. Don't lose your 15-year-old cousin.
Although I was an 18-year-old taking that same cousin to a dance.
Father-daughter
so,
dance
yeah,
or
was,
whatever.
I guess, you know, 15, no, 18, yes.
Yeah.
Or it might have been just desperation. Who knows?
You grew up a little bit in those couple of years. That's funny. What else you got? What's the next question?
Who is your favorite character?
It's the easy and obvious answer, but I'm a Donald Duck guy. Always have been. He's just funny. Just funnier than everybody. He's got a little bit of an attitude. You know, that's all it takes. You know, Mickey Mouse is kind of lame, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can
Mickey
say
Mouse
that,
is a cheerleader character.
He's definitely a cheerleader character. And I appreciate Mickey, you know, for historically and everything like that. But in the parks, I could care less about Mickey stuff.
Right.
But Donald, like, I'll stand in line to meet Donald.
Oh, at Epcot, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm definitely a Donald guy. And as far as, like, more obscure characters, I've always liked, like, Robin Hood, that movie.
Okay.
But they're not in the parks at all, but they're probably some of my favorites as well.
What is your favorite park?
Another tough one.
Yeah, I know, because I know your two favorites.
And they're close. And one's moving up slowly, and the other one's moving down slowly. Mm-hmm. Epcot's still my number one. If I had a one-day single park pass, I'm going to Epcot. And it actually happened because when we went with the girls a couple summers ago, we weren't planning to go to the parks at all. We were going to do resort only. And por favor, Amanda Brown called me and said she had these free, like, cast member only tickets that they could give to anybody that were expiring the next day, and we went to Epcot with them. We didn't go to Magic Kingdom. We did Epcot, and I do think now with my daughters being young, 5 and 3, I think Epcot's the best park by far because there's a lot of slow rides that they can do, and there's a lot of other stuff to keep them occupied.
Mm-hmm.
The countries, they have, like, the kids' stuff in the countries. You could go to the different shops. You can go to the different shows. A lot of characters to meet. You know, there's a Frozen ride. There's Living with the Land, the Three Caballeros. There's plenty to do. The Journey into Imagination, Finding Nemo, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's the best park right now for my family. And even still, I'm taking Epcot, but Animal Kingdom's getting a lot closer.
I know.
And I still love the festivals because I'm not a local.
Right.
But it's tough to go during the festivals.
Oh,
and they're just nonstop
now. Oh, it's awful.
It's nonstop. I mean, if you want to go on a weekend and there's a festival going on, you know, I'd rather cut off my pinky.
Oh, Friday. That Friday night. I don't even want to talk about that. How miserable
that was. I mean, even the
was.
One. Remember the January trip? The first,
oh, it was awful.
The arts festival, how bad that was? In like the middle of January, where it should be dead, and that was the busiest I've ever seen Epcot, maybe any park.
I remember we had a fast pass, and I'm like, I'm just getting, it's going to take me a half hour to get through
the fast pass line.
No, just to get my car.
Oh, the security.
Just to get my car into the parking lot.
Oh, that's right.
It was bumper to bumper. Like, I'm texting you. I'm like, dude, it's going to take me 40 minutes just to park. I've never seen anything so crazy.
I remember that. That was the busiest I've ever seen it. It was unbelievable.
Oh, it was awful.
So Epcot non-festival will still be my number one, but Animal Kingdom's getting closer.
Yeah, you go to Epcot. Like, I miss your sister living here because we'd meet at Epcot on a Wednesday when it was dead, and man, you walked on rides and you any place you wanted to eat lunch, you just sat down and had lunch. It was awesome.
But now, like, Animal Kingdom, that's the park you go to just hang out now.
Yeah, just to walk and relax.
You just walk around, get a drink, get a snack. You know, you could do the trails, you know, try to grab a fast pass for the safari or something. You could still get on Everest pretty quick with single rider if you want. You know, do a couple rides and just enjoy the sights. I mean, Animal Kingdom's awesome. So those definitely are the top two.
All right.
And
Epcot's
still number one.
Now let's get into our favorite thing to talk about, and food.
Food. Okay.
What's your favorite quick service?
All right. I'm going to go with... man, that's tough. I thought about it, and I had an answer, and now I'm, like, I'm second-guessing myself. Because, you know, you think I'm going to say Tangerine Cafe.
No, I thought it was going to be the quick serve at All-Star Music.
No, that was not a good experience. Tangerine Cafe is good. I'm going to say, and I've come around on this one, is the one in France, actually. Like, the little pastry shop.
Really?
Yeah.
For the food or just because of the good bakery?
The good bakery. Like, there's just so many nice little options, like quick things that you could just take and go, and the sandwiches are so good. Even the desserts are good. I'm going off the radar. Right now, as I stand, that's where I'd go.
Was it originally Tangerine?
Yeah, it was originally.
Really?
Which I think that's the best value, even though it's a little pricey, but you get so much
food. Ah, you, for $12, $13, you get a great plate of good food.
But, yeah, I think the France one is way up there.
That's fair.
Nothing in Magic Kingdom, obviously. Nothing in Hollywood Studios as far as quick serves that I really like. Animal Kingdom, you know, Flame Tree is pretty good, but I'm not going to give that number one. And then, you know, I could have said Everything Pop, which is a great quick serve, but I was trying to narrow it down to, like, more of a single style.
Very solid. Everything Pop is fantastic.
It's really good.
I love
that
place.
Is a good one.
What is your favorite one-credit restaurant?
Again, another tough one. There's different reasons why I would pick different places. You know, if you tell me for breakfast, I might pick Kona. If it's for dinner, I might be going... that, again, that's still tough. I don't know, but I'm going to say overall.
Overall, because now you have me... This is a great idea for favorite one credit for breakfast, favorite one credit for dinner now.
Right.
Now we got some show ideas.
So I'm going to go out on a limb. And I'm going to say my favorite one credit, even though I haven't even eaten there for dinner, is Boma.
Because you're just dying to eat there, huh?
That breakfast buffet is the best breakfast buffet. And I can't imagine the dinner would disappoint.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, it's off the beaten path. It's a little unusual, which I like kind of the different kinds of cuisines.
I think that's what you want in a buffet.
Oh, definitely.
You know, you try this it, and you're no like, risk. Yeah, I didn't like this. Okay, fine.
No risk, yes. So I was tempted to go with Grand Floridian Cafe.
Uh-huh.
But their menu's a little small. Just a little, just a hair. It doesn't have, like, the adventurous thing on it that
right.
I'm looking for once
it's
in a while.
It's got your steak, it's got your burger, it's got a
it's
chicken
good.
Dish.
Don't get me wrong,
salmon.
I really like it.
Uh-huh.
And then I was thinking Rose and Crown, but I wasn't super impressed last time when we went. The fish and chips didn't knock my socks off, even though I do like Rose and Crown a lot.
Yep.
That's more atmosphere, though, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's my answer. I'm going to go with Boma.
Now, this is a hard one because all of these are so good. I've never been disappointed at a two-credit restaurant. What's your favorite two-credit?
My gut says California Grill.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to go with that because I think that's the right answer. And actually, over the weekend, we were talking about it, and my dad asked me, he said, if you could eat anywhere in Disney, you know, price doesn't matter, just anywhere you could go. He said, don't think about, you know, the price, just where would you want to go? And I said, California Grill. And I said, their steaks are good, their seafood's good, and they have the best sushi I've ever had was from there.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not a huge sushi guy, but when it's good, it's so good. And that was the best. Like, they had that, you know, I forget what it's even called, but it had, like, the crispy stuff on top and, like, the hot, spicy mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good. And the steak is fantastic. And then how can you beat the view and the atmosphere in that place?
And I love the setup. I just love the decor in there.
Yes,
I love
great.
That contemporary, modern. It's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
What was your
Close
dad's
second.
Answer?
I think he was saying Grand Floridian Cafe, to be honest.
He loves that place.
He does.
He loves that place. What were you going to say, a second? Yeah.
A close second would be Yachtsman, which I had a great experience there, and I'm dying to go back because it's been 9 years, and I want to try it again. That onion soup at Shula's was pretty good, wasn't it? Outside of everything else, just the onion soup, like which is a high testament for me. That was so good.
I'm getting
that might have been the best onion soup I've ever had.
Oh, that was so time. Good, wasn't it?
It was very good. Like remember, you and I were like getting the cheese off with our thumbnails, trying to just
we were scraping it. Yeah, I mean, like that night, like we were both like 15 beers into it, and we're like scrapping. Like
you could still smell it under your fingernails.
Yeah, and like you're like, what are you doing? I got a little bit of crispy cheese there. trying to get like a pen cap to get it off. Oh,
yeah, just
man.
A little bit. It's stuck in there. I need it.
So good. And you didn't want to wash it off because you want. I mean, there's nothing better than smelling like Shula's onion soup.
That, other people might disagree, but for yourself, yes,
right,
I agree.
Right. Yeah. Now, this was an interesting question.
Would you burn that candle? If you got like a Yankee candle that was Shula's onion soup, would you burn that in
probably,
your house?
Probably, would you?
I would. I don't think Susie would be too happy about it, would you?
Do that down in your dungeon.
That's true.
When you're watching TV or something.
The onion soup candle. Onion soup. That one hasn't been made yet, unfortunately.
Okay, this is an interesting question. Would you save up for V&A, Victoria and Albert's, for a special occasion meal? Now, next year, you're coming up on your 10-year anniversary, so.
Oh, yes, I'm aware of that. Would I save up for that? Yeah, I mean, for me, that's kind of an easy one to say yes to, because I see the value in it as a once-in-a-lifetime or once-in-a-blue-moon occasion.
I mean, even the value is hard. I see it as just a great moment in life.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. I feel like I'll get my money's worth just out of memories of it and, like, thinking back on it, even if you're not going to get $300 worth of food or whatever, obviously.
Right.
But if you take that out of it, you know, I can kind of compartmentalize that and say, you know, we're on vacation, special occasion. I'm not going to miss out on something else to do it. I'm just going to add it on. I'm just going to budget the extra,
right,
you know, X amount of dollars into this trip for it. So it's not like if you gave me this, if you said I could stay, the difference between staying at Pop Century and Wilderness Lodge for a week, like stay at Pop Century and go to Victoria and Albert's or stay at Wilderness Lodge and not go, I might pick Wilderness Lodge.
I would too. No doubt about it.
But in my book, if I'm going to do it, I'll just budget the extra and I'd do, you know, I'd still stay at Wilderness Lodge.
Yeah,
you know,
just going
to
go.
You know what I mean?
Out.
So it's easy for me to say yes to it. But if you gave me an ultimatum, then I'm probably going to pick something else over it.
Now, it's funny that you said, like, the memories and this and that, because about an hour ago, we're walking a dog and UPS driver drives by and Kristen goes, that was a guy that we were talking to at Victoria and Albert's last year or 2 years ago. I said, it was? She's like, do you remember that guy? I'm like, yeah, because we had drinks with him at Meisner's, him and his wife at Meisner's, you know, after dinner. And she's like, he worked for UPS, didn't he? I'm like, yeah, because we were talking, and he lives in Lakewood Ranch, and we're like, oh, we're just up the street in Parrish. And he's like, oh, whereabouts? And I told him, he's like, I deliver in your neighborhood.
That's funny.
Isn't that funny? You remember, like, the person. Like, you don't remember somebody you had breakfast with next to at a quick serve. But for some reason, you remember the people that you talked to at Victoria and Albert's.
Yeah. UPS drivers can make some good money, I've heard.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if they've been with the company for a while.
Oh, yeah. They go once a year, too.
Nice.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm always afraid, like, I'm going to look for a reservation, it's going to pop up like it did 2 years ago.
And you're just going to do
it. I'm like, oh, no. Like, don't put me in this predicament.
Because Susie might say yes, too.
Oh, she loved it. She
and
loved
she's
it.
She's usually the pragmatic
yeah,
one.
Yeah, she's usually
talk
the one
it,
talking
yeah.
me off the ledge. Yes, exactly. Now, what is your favorite resort that you've stayed at?
I liked Coronado, but it's changed so much. I don't want to say that. I'm going to go with, I think, Riverside. I loved Riverside.
Now, Coronado was your honeymoon.
Yes.
But
then we didn't spend a lot of time at the resort. We were eating so much food. We were on that deluxe dining plan. Like we spent 90% of the time traveling from signature restaurant to signature restaurant. So that was tough.
That sounds like a great way to spend a week.
Oh, it was fantastic.
To be honest.
I'm not complaining at all. I'm just saying that we spent very little time at the resort itself. But like Riverside, that's where we stayed when we did the non-park trip, and we loved it. I love that. I love that resort. I love getting on the boat to Disney Springs. I love walking around and being able to go to French Quarter as well, within walking distance. The restaurants there, the quick serves there, are very good. There's plenty to do. The pools are nice. I really like that place.
The pools are great, and the quiet pools are great.
Yes, both were. Yes, I agree.
Now you stayed in the mansions, I would assume, with having the girls, right?
Yeah, we had a princess room, which was nice. It was very nice, especially for the girls.
Wasn't their quiet pool over there amazing? Like Kristen still talks about how that's her favorite quiet pool on property.
Yeah, we were like our building was adjacent to it, so we just walked over and went right down to it a couple times, and it's really nice.
There's nobody there. It's a nice big lap pool. It's beautiful.
Yep. Yeah, it's very nice.
All right, speaking of resorts, what's on your bucket list?
Well, I think I pretty much answered that with the Victoria and Albert question. Wilderness Lodge is my number one. I love that. I just feel so happy when I'm
there. What do you love about that?
Everything. Just the lobby is so good. I could sit in that lobby all day, I think.
And I'm not going to argue with you. I stayed there, and I absolutely loved it. Loved it.
And the thing is, it's kind of funny because maybe I should say Animal Kingdom because it's almost the same lobby. It's very similar aesthetically, and the restaurants are 1,000 times better at Animal Kingdom.
Yes.
So maybe that should be my answer, and maybe I'm changing it on the fly right now, but I still love Wilderness Lodge better. But the restaurants aren't that good there. Geyser Point's my favorite bar to drink at. And
right.
As far as,
yep.
You know, that's you can get some good food there, but, you know, like you guys talked about, Artist Point is garbage now. Whispering Canyon's just mediocre. Roaring Forks is decent, though, right? You said that's
It's fine. It's good.
And then the indoor bar there you like as well, don't you?
Oh, I love that place.
I can't remember. What's that one called? I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head right now, but, you know, we got Geyser Point, and then that one is Territory Lounge.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yep, Territory, yep.
So, yeah, I love that resort. Whether you're in the main building or off to the side, I mean, that's my number one. Animal Kingdom's up there. And I like the Epcot area ones too, but Wilderness is still number one.
Okay. Now, my last question, what is your favorite activity to do at Disney outside the parks?
So, you probably think I would say golf, right?
Yeah, that's that. Yeah,
because that was fantastic. However, I'm gonna throw a little curveball at you here because the golf, as much as I love it, I think it's more the company. Like I would have just as much fun playing off property with you guys as we do playing at the Disney course. Like if I was playing by myself, paired with three random people,
it wouldn't be your favorite activity.
I don't think it would be my favorite activity.
That's fair.
So, that being said, I think my favorite outside the park activity is hanging out in the Grand Floridian lobby, listening to the music, getting a drink. Although I haven't been since they ruined it with the Beauty and the Beast bar. But you know, listening to the piano player or the orchestra and just sitting there, especially at Christmas, that might be my favorite outside the park activity. I mean, I've sat in there one time. I was terribly hungover, but I've sat in that lobby for hours at a time, and just been perfectly content and happy. You know, you're a stone's throw away from Magic Kingdom, but I'm just happy to just sit on one of those couches and just hang out. It's really great.
I went up there the last night that the orchestra played upstairs before they were going to do the remodel.
You were live, Bill.
And that's all I did? I just went up there by myself.
Yeah, and I bet you loved it.
I loved it. There's something special about that lobby and sitting in there and just the piano player and the orchestra and...
But I have very little desire to stay at that resort, which is strange. Because I feel like I can get the full experience without staying there, and I'd rather stay at Wilderness Lodge.
That's fair.
I'm weird.
That's fair. I think all their resorts are amazing. I mean, I love them all.
But there's something about the grand lobbies, like the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom.
Even
the Poly Lobby is nice. It's more hustle bustle and lobby,
right.
But even that's nice. But like, you're not going to hang out in the Boardwalk Lobby.
No.
Even the Beach and Yacht Club, there's not really anything to do.
No, it's
just a check-in area.
Yeah, I'll sit on the couch and have a cup of coffee or whatever, but, I mean, it's not like, let me take this in.
Right, exactly. Like, to be honest, I'd rather hang out at the I don't know if it's considered the lobby, but, like, the lobby area, like, French Quarter or Riverside than Beach or Yacht Club. I mean, the hotels themselves are nicer, Beach and Yacht, but the lobby, there's more going on in those lobbies. You can hang out there and have a drink and just take it all in. Whereas Beach Club is, you just kind of sit there and people are checking in and that's it. It's like the low ceiling. Something about the low ceiling.
Yeah, I think I agree. Yeah, I like that grand. I like that grand
the open,
lobby. Yeah, I'm with you.
So those are my answers. Although I do love golf. Don't get me wrong. I love playing golf at Disney, but it's been with you guys, which makes it that much better. You know, if I got paired with Matthew and two, like, septuagenarians or something, and I probably wouldn't have as much fun.
I liked all your answers, Billy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. How's it feel having some talent back on the show with you? Not having to carry the whole thing.
You know what? Mike was talking about how he's going to miss doing the show, and, you know, whenever we want to take weeks off, I think very soon we got to have the two of you just go at it.
I like Mike. I love Mike. He's one of my best friends. It's kind of messed up to say that because I didn't know him even like 4 or 5 years ago.
I know. It's weird, isn't it?
And he just like messaged me on Facebook randomly because we happened to be at Pop Century at the same time. And now he's probably one of my best friends in the world.
Mine too. I agree.
You know, I love the guy and I love giving him a hard time and he knows I'm just kidding. And I do appreciate him filling in. I know you do too because it was a huge help for both of us that he did that. So
yeah,
as
we
much
had
as
fun.
I love going at him, it was good. And he did a good job.
Adequate.
Adequate. Fair enough.
Adequate.
Yeah.
All right. Should we take our second break?
We probably should.
All right. Mr. Klinsman up in Kent County, Rhode Island.
Yes, that's correct.
Makes it sound so special, doesn't it?
It's very special, isn't it? Do you miss Kent County, Rhode Island?
Mm-mm.
No.
I
think so.
You know, like you, I remember you talked about like all the cities in Florida are just so much cooler than anywhere else. Like Miami has such a good ring. Isn't Manatee County just beautiful?
Just the names.
It's beautiful. Yes.
Just the names. I don't mean like what's going on in those places, but even like Tallahassee, it sounds so nice.
Yeah.
And then you have Central Falls. Oh, that doesn't sound
It
great,
tells
does
you
it?
What it is. Like Sarasota just sounds, I don't know what Sarasota is, it just sounds like it's sunny.
Mm-hmm.
St. Augustine.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Then we have Woonsocket. Like, yeah. Does that sound like a place you want to hang
yeah,
out?
Yeah, they're Woonsocket. Like all Indian names up there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Indian names down in Florida, too, but I'm pretty sure Sarasota.
Ocala, Alachua.
Yeah. We were talking about that.
It's so true. I remember as a kid, I'm like, Orlando just has, like, the coolest name.
Yeah.
I had, like, a keychain. I still have it. It's from, like, the 1990s. I got it at the airport because you always got to get one of those gimmicky things before you get on a plane to head home because you're going to miss your trip so much. So
yes,
it's just
exactly.
A beautiful keychain, and it just had a big O.
Yeah.
And then underneath it said Orlando. I'm like, that's nice. Beautiful. It's probably like $13 at the time back in like 91.
Yeah.
Spending
that's
my
like
last
Disney
$15
price, yeah.
of my allowance.
Bill just shaking his head. Are you sure you want this?
Yeah. I told you, you can bring $30 of your savings down, and you can spend it how you want, but are you sure you want to spend $17 on that?
Yeah, I'll use it every day. I'll use it every day.
Did you get talked out of buying stupid stuff, too?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah, the stupid stuff that you bought, though, you totally remember, don't you?
Yeah, like, these stupid... Like, we used to go get these things, like, the toy guns that, like, would shoot the little cork, and it was, like, attached on the string, and you'd break them after, 3 seconds or whatever.
Yeah.
You always get those kind of stupid things. Can't buy that stuff anymore. You can't get a toy gun.
No, God, no.
Anything else? You want to wrap things up here? What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, what's our social media?
Oh, I'm back. We're back to the social. I thought you were hosting. I was going to let you take it, but I'll do it. See if I have it all memorized. You can follow our show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by going to @WDWBTG. Our website is WDWBTG.com. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, anywhere podcasts are available. You can search for us, WDW Beyond the Gates. Again, YouTube, our big YouTube channel.
You like our YouTube channel, don't you?
I enjoy it, yeah. Do you like when I watch it on like the big screen?
Yeah, it makes me happy.
Yeah. Yeah, so go to YouTube.com, search for WDW Beyond the Gates, subscribe, give us thumbs ups on videos when you're watching, leave a comment as well. I know you try to respond to every comment, so
yes,
we'll definitely do that. What else am I forgetting? You can email us, info@WDWBTG.com, Gary@WDWBTG.com, and Mike@WDWBTG.com. Also, go to our TeePublic store.
Yes,
you go to
TeePublic. I was going to ask you about that.
.com/user/WDWBTG, and I'm not saying you should buy one, but there are Beyond the Gates coronavirus masks available now.
Yes,
I would not. I would find it hilarious if someone buys one and takes a picture with it, but I would not. I do not endorse that. I think it's kind of a little cheap that they're even putting those out there.
They've been on back order though. What I think we need to do, because we need to do more lives. We haven't been live in forever.
That's true.
I think we need to do one if we can find these masks.
And just wear the masks and be live
ourselves.
Yeah. That's too funny. I would be so embarrassed to wear that. I'd wear it to Disney, though.
Like, actually, when this whole thing's done, like in 2 years, when everybody's had the vaccine and stuff, like you and I, Schaefer and Willing, just go rolling in with our masks.
Yeah, because they're going to require that for a while, it sounds like. Will you go? I meant to ask you, and I'll do this at the end here. Will you go if you have to wear a mask?
I don't know.
It's tough. I just would be so... It would take me out of it so much. Like, I don't mind wearing the mask. Like, that doesn't bother me, and I don't mind other people wearing it. But, like, at Disney, it would take me so much out of, like... It would kind of tarnish Disney for me, I feel like.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Because that's, like, the place that you want to go and be happy.
You escape
and
everything.
And forget about
everything.
You don't want to remember what's going on, yes.
Like, when you're in Epcot, you're not thinking about, like... You know, Republicans and Democrats and Trump versus Biden. You're just there having fun. Like,
right.
And then all of a sudden you have everyone's wearing masks, and then you see like a couple people without masks. And you're like, oh, what's that guy up to? You know, it just brings everything to you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We might have to discuss that in a future episode.
Yeah, we can table that because we've got a lot to talk about. It's been a long time since we've chatted about this.
That's very true. All right. Well, I guess we can finish it up here. Why don't you bring us home?
All right. Thanks for listening to episode 322 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. From my cousin up in Kent County, Rhode Island, I'm Mike down in sunny Southwest Florida, and we'll talk to you next week.
Why? Because we like you.
M-O-U-S-E. Thank you.